Take your Bibles this morning and turn to Isaiah chapter 12, Isaiah chapter 12. I want to speak to you about halting hauntings. Those things that haunt us and hinder us from accomplishing the will of God or being in the place where God can bless us. There was a comic strip in the paper, the Tennessean, this past week, and most of you know I'm into reading the comics. And the one close to home, there was a comic strip, and there were two men, and they were just inside of Heaven's Gate. They were standing there with halos and upon the clouds, and one had his eyes were just bugged out. I mean, he was looking down, and the guy says, "Seriously? You have a morbid fear of heights? Bummer, man. Many times we're afraid of things, and it hinders us. When the Lord is our salvation, we have nothing to fear." I'll begin reading in verse 1. "And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall I draw water out of the well of salvation. In that day shall they say, Praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, the inhabitants of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee." God's people should never be haunted. They never should be hindered by fear. My text is going to be taken from Isaiah 35 and 4. I believe there's an antidote. I believe there's a solution to the fearful things that we experience today. I mean, let's face it. There are a lot of things in the world that seem to generate high levels of fear. We live in a time where there's terrorism. We live in a time where we have some of the most sophisticated security systems in the world, securing our homes and our automobiles. We have identity theft that we have to be concerned about, and yet some people are even taking insurance out on their own identity in fear that they will have it stolen. Hurricanes, tsunamis, tornadoes. I mean, let's face it. We live in an age of dominating fears. And yet all of these fears, especially worldly fears, human fears, tangible fears, they should be overcome, and those that are saved can take courage and fear not. Look there in Isaiah 35 and 4. This is the solution. He said there, say unto them that are of a fearful heart, be strong and fear not. I don't know if you noticed in the Hendersonville paper this past week, but there was an article about how that the tornadoes have terrorized some people, and even children have become extremely fearful of the wind or the weather. Yes, we live in a time of many fears. I mean, we have to fear birds or bird flu or cows because of mad cow. There are many dangers in the world, but every believer is securely safe. Jesus said that no man shall pluck you out of my Father's hand. We are under the providence of God. We are under the care of God. And if there are fears lurking in your heart, if you're one of those that have a fearful heart, if there are things that are haunting you and hindering you, and if that thing is fear, I want to say unto you, like Isaiah said in 35 and 4, be strong and fear not. There are those people that have, I guess, legitimate psychological fears. There are people that have phobias. My grandmother had a claustrophobic. She was afraid of small spaces. There are people that are afraid of heights. There are people that are afraid of strangers and things of that nature. I think there's a new phobia that's occurred. It's called church fear. People apparently afraid to go to church. Or maybe it's preacher fear or religious fear. I'm not sure, but there are many different phobias that people may have. There are what I might call that are fears that are just basic. We have some degree of fear of death, or we may have some fear of illness or rejection or failure or the fear of old age. The Bible speaks of that. I want to say to you this morning, be strong and fear not. There is no weapon that can be formed against you that can hurt you if you're one of His. In these passages of Scripture that I've read in your hearing, we should take courage. We should not let things disable us. We should not let fear disable us or hinder us. We especially should not let fear disable us and hinder us from living for God, serving God, doing the will of God. I'm afraid there are times that we are haunted and hindered and we do not do the will of God. I want to say to those people, those spiritual people yet seem to be hindered or have certain fears, I want to say to the church of Jesus Christ this morning, be strong and fear not. Some of us are fearful that the world's going to be overthrown by evil. Or that evil will get such an upper hand. We may have some fear of the Antichrist or the son of perdition. We may have certain fears that lurk in our minds and our hearts. But I assure you that Jesus said that He would be with us, the church, that is, unto the end of the world. Amen. The word fear has a wide range of meanings. When you look through the Scriptures, the Bible speaks of fear in a good sense. The Bible says in Proverbs 1 and 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The Bible says in Proverbs 9 and 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The Bible says in Proverbs 10 and 27, the fear of the Lord will prolong your days. The Bible says in Proverbs 14 and 27, the fear of the Lord is the fountain of life. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 12 and 13, where Solomon reached the conclusion of the matter, he said, let's hear the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. There are or is a good kind of fear. And there's also a bad kind of fear. The Bible speaks of a fear that we should shun and avoid. The kind that disables us or hinders us. The kind of fear that torments us. For the Bible says in 1 John 4 and 18, there is no fear in love. For perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. John was talking about a bad kind of fear. The kind of fear that causes problems, that terrorizes us. He says, he that feareth is not made perfect in love. You need to understand that God loves you. He cares for you. He sent His only begotten Son to save you. And if He sent His only begotten Son, if He withheld not His Son that you might be saved, I assure you, He will care for you when you believe. In Romans 8 and 15, it says, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage. There is a kind of fear. There's a kind of spiritual bondage associated with the bad kind of fear. Notice he says, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby ye cry, Abba, Father. In 2 Timothy 1 and 7, we read again that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. In Hebrews 2 and 15, we are told that we have been delivered from the fear of death. He says, and delivered them who were fearful of death were all their lifetime subject unto bondage. So what have we concluded? Well, it's obvious to see that these contrasting scriptures declare to us that there are two kinds of fear. There is a good fear and there is a bad fear. A fear we should have and a fear we shouldn't have. A fear of the Lord and a fear of the things of this world that hinder us or place us in bondage. There's a kind of fear that is the very essence of love. And there's a kind of fear that love should cast out. There's a fear that enslaves us. And there's a fear that sets us free. There's a fear that helps us. And there's a fear that hinders us. There's a fear that draws us closer to God. And there's a fear that keeps us away from God. There's a fear that calls upon us to seek God and to find Him. And there's a kind of fear that keeps us from finding Him. Noah, the Bible says, moved with fear and built the ark to the saving of his house. The Bible says that Adam hid himself in the garden because he was afraid. Let me try to simplify this for you. Any fear that drives you from trusting in God is a bad fear. And any fear that draws you closer to God is a good fear. Any fear that causes you to serve God more and do His will, that's a good fear. Any fear that keeps you from doing the will of God and serving God and loving God is not of God. Amen. I want to say to you this morning, if you are hindered, if you're being haunted by a bad fear, be strong and fear not. Bad fear stifles our capacity to think clearly and rationally. And many times it will affect our behavior. That is a bad fear. The kind that causes us to do things that we would not normally do. It will affect the way we behave. It will prohibit us from thinking clearly and rationally. If we are haunted by fear, we will be hindered in life. I know people that are so haunted by fear that they are hindered in life. I know churches, and I didn't mean to get on this, but I guess I'm going to have to. Lord help me. There's a fear that can hinder us from accomplishing the will of God. Do you realize there's a bad fear that hinders us from making decisions? That makes us indecisive? We're afraid to make a decision for ourselves or for others or for the future of the church, and thus we are hindered. Churches and members many times are manipulated, listen to me, and controlled by fear. Any church that's being manipulated or controlled by fear, I want to say to you, take courage and fear not. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Sometimes spouses or children or people are being manipulated by fear. That's a form of communism, my friend. That's not of Christ. We should love God and serve God. We should not serve Him out of fear. We ought to serve Him because we love Him. John will say in 1 John that we didn't love Him, but He first loved us. Now we love Him and we serve Him out of love. These passages tell us clearly that there are times where people will try to manipulate us or control us because of fear. What happened when the early church was confronted with their lives and they were being persecuted and they were being told not to preach the name of Jesus? I'll tell you what they said. They said, we ought to obey God rather than man. Jesus instructed them in Matthew 10 and 28, don't fear Him who is able to kill the body, but fear Him which is able to kill both soul and body in hell. There are some churches that are so afraid of doing something that they do nothing. Amen. Right. Or they're so afraid of turmoil or some trouble. I know of instances and situations where there are certain members within a church that try to control the rest of the congregation by fear. They'll stand up like King Kong, beat upon their chest. Come on now. I'd at least get an amen from Brother Vanderpool and some of these other pastors. And try to control the pastor. pastor and the rest of the congregation by fear. If you think you've got a King Kong mentality, you need to walk down the streets of Hendersonville and get out of our church. Churches should not be controlled. Sometimes it's the pastor beating on his chest and saying he's King Kong, and manipulating and controlling because of fear. Listen, if you don't want to play according to the rules of the Lord Jesus Christ, just pick up your toys and go on home. Amen. Push, pull, or get out of the way. We're here to serve the Lord. It's not a game. This is the cause of Jesus Christ. He gave His life's blood for the church. We're here to worship and serve Him. We're not here to worship and serve man. We're not here to please men. We're here to please God. If you're not on the same page, you need to get you another book. All right. Well, I got through that. Praise the Lord. Indecision creates additional anxiety and diminishes our capacity to achieve all that God has in store for us. Many times when we stay at a point of indecision, we don't reach the goal. We don't lay hold of the will of God. Indecision is a dangerous place. And many times we stay there because of the bad kind of fear that the Bible talks about. Man, am I preaching to somebody this morning? Huh? Are y'all with me? And during those periods, we become increasingly unproductive and more fearful and develop more anxiety. Now, I'm not trying to preach to you some psychobabble. I'm trying to tell you this morning, be strong, take courage, and fear not. The Lord is with us. If we make the right decision for the Lord, we've made the right decision for the Lord. If we've made the wrong decision, we can repent and go. Amen? But in that period where we don't do anything is a period where that we become more and more disabled, more haunted, and more hindered by an increasing degree of fear. Fear increases during those times. We need the kind of fear that fortifies our faith. The good kind, amen? The kind that drives off the kind of fear that torments. Notice in Acts chapter 9, verse 31. The church had the right kind of fear in Acts chapter 9, verse 31. They walked in the fear of the Lord, and it caused something. What did it cause? Look there with me in Acts chapter 9, verse 31. It says, then had the church rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and they were built up, they were edified. Why? Because they walked in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost and were multiplied. If we're not careful, the bad kind of fear will damage our relationship with one another. But the good kind of fear, what will happen? We'll have peace in the church, amen? We'll have comfort in the church, just like they did. We'll be built up, we'll be encouraged, we'll be edified when we walk in the good kind of fear, the fear of the Lord. We'll be comforted by the Holy Ghost, and what will happen? According to Acts chapter 9, verse 31, we will multiply. God will increase us. We'll grow when we walk in the fear of the Lord. When you truly fear God, here's my point. You won't be haunted by the bad kind of fear. If we walk in the fear of the Lord, in the reverence, and I realize, you know, people go into this technical aspect of fear, that the fear of the Lord or fear of God that's being spoken of is a reverent kind of fear. And yes, it is. But it's a spiritual fear. It's a fear that helps us. A fear that doesn't hinder us, but it always helps us move forward. Amen? It's a kind of fear that drives away. Listen to me. What I'm telling you here is that fear, the good fear, drives out the bad fear. The fear of the Lord will overshadow, will run off, will drive away, because it's the right kind of fear. When we have a great reverence for God and we acknowledge His power, His omniscience, His majesty, His providence in our lives, it will always, always, always drive away that kind of fear that causes terror. We should know how to distinguish between the good fear and the bad fear. Amen? We should know the difference between fear and being afraid. In that passage of Scripture in 1 John, he tells us there earlier in chapter 4, in the previous verse, he was talking about the judgment of God. He says, we have boldness in verse 17 in the judgment of God. We have boldness on the day of judgment because as he is, so we are in this world. He says, and there's no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, that bad fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If any man say, I love God and hate the... Notice here, God loves us. Do you see that? God loves us. He cares for us. Everything that happens to us is for our good. Everything that happens to us is according to His good pleasure. Will work some good in our lives. I believe that everything that transpires in our lives is according to the providence and ruling and control of God. Amen. Amen. A lot of people don't believe that. So realize, first of all, to run off the bad kind of terror and fear, know this, my friend, if you've been saved by the grace of God and you're a child of God, God loves you. Yes, know that. Know that. It'll set the wrong or bad kind of fear to flee. That if we want to enjoy all that God has in store for us, the abundant life, if we want to enjoy life and experience the good aspects and the wonderful enjoyments of Christianity, we must have a love for God, the kind of love that runs off the bad kind of fear. Love overshadows and dominates the bad fear that develops. Are you afraid? We sing that song, It's Well With My Soul. And that song simply is saying, we have nothing to fear, do we? Whatever comes our way, we know where we're going. We know that Jesus has prepared a place for us, that where He is, there we shall be also. In Genesis chapter 15 and verse 1, God appeared unto Abraham and said, Abraham, fear not. Fear not. He said, for I am thy shield and thy exceeding great rewards. God appeared unto Isaac and said, Isaac, fear not, for I am with you and I will bless you. God appeared unto Jacob and said to Jacob, fear not, go into Egypt. God said through Moses, as Moses stood before the people, they had the enemy behind them. They had the Red Sea in front of them. Moses said to the people of Israel, fear not and stand still and see the salvation of God. Scattered throughout all of the Bible is the antidote for this fear that is of terror. And it's many times said by Jesus Christ Himself. Fear not, little flock. Fear not, little flock. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you a loaf of bread. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you a glass of water. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you a car to drive. Fear not, little flock. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you a house to live in. Fear not, little flock. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you a clothes to wear. No, that's not what He said. He said, fear not, little flock. It is the Father. Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom of God. Man, if He'll give us that, He'll give us everything else we need. You don't have to worry about that little piddly stuff in comparison to the kingdom of heaven. Oh no. Jesus frequently and often said unto us, fear not. In Revelation 1 and 17, John there was receiving the revelation. Let me turn over there. In Revelation chapter 1 and verse 17, he said, when John saw this, he fell to his feet as dead. And Jesus laid his right hand upon his shoulder and said unto him, fear not, fear not. I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I live forevermore. Amen. And hath the keys of hell and of death. Those of you that have a fearful heart this morning, may the voice of the Lord ring in your heads and in your hearts. May the hand of the Holy Spirit be laid upon you, and you hear the words of Jesus Christ and Him say, fear not, I am in control. I am the first and I am the last. God is our refuge. He's a very present help in time of trouble. Psalms 46 and 2, it says, therefore will not we fear. Yes. Do you fear the devil this morning? Why, the Bible says Jesus came to destroy the work of the devil. And He did. Yeah. Are you fear of getting over the wall? Praise God, our God has caused walls to fall flat. Are you fearful of the giants out there in the world? Why, all God needs is some rude little boy with a slingshot and He can take down a giant. Are you fearing the winds and the waves? Well, Jesus took His hand and calmed the sea. Are you fearful when He calls for you to come to walk on the water? Well, I assure you, if He invites you to come, you'll walk on the water. Yeah. Are you fearful of disease? Jesus on numerous occasions said, be thou made whole. Are you afraid this morning of being hungry? Well, God will send bread down from heaven. Are you fearful of thirst? God can speak to a rock or have a rock smote and water will gush forth from it. Are you fear of financial woes? Why, Jesus may just send you fishing. And you find, as Peter did, all the money you need in the mouth of a fish. Are you fearful of poverty? We don't need to be fearful of poverty because our Father owns the cattle on 1,000 hill and the hill itself. Yes, our Father owns it all. People, we are rich when we are the children of God. We are joint heirs with God, with Christ. We are heirs with Christ and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We experience many blessings in life. But I assure you, the greatest blessing we enjoy is having God with us. And we have no reason to fear when He's present. As it is written in the 12th chapter of Isaiah, the presence and the power of the Lord. He is our salvation and we have nothing to fear. Some of you this morning fear past sins that you've committed. When Jesus saves you, He sets you free from sins of your past. And if you are, and the devil is the one haunting you, and the devil is the one hindering you, if he is constantly causing you to consider sins of the past, sins that have already been put under the blood of Jesus, that's the devil. You need to be like Paul. You need to forget those things of the past and reach for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Maybe there's somebody here this morning and you're afraid to die. Well, Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And death, He told us that He's got the key to death. If you're afraid to die, listen, keep this in mind. If you're saved, that key is held in the hands of Jesus. Amen. You don't die till He says it's time for you to die. I believe like Brother Honeycutt, yeah, bodily exercise profit the sum, but Jesus is in control of our lives. Amen. And I'm not afraid of dying young. You know, if it serves the purpose and cause of Christ, dying young, so be it. I am His servant. And for me to die is gain. Amen. Yeah. Jesus He's the Lord of both dead and the living. He'll still be my Lord. I'll still be serving Him. I'll still be worshiping Him. That won't change. The only thing that will change is my place where I'll be doing it. Amen. He's got the keys. That ought to comfort us. That ought to comfort us. Are you fearful of being thrown into some fiery furnace? Well, that fourth man will be with you, like it was with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Amen? if there's fear lurking, if things are haunting you and hindering you, be assured, my friend, if you're saved by the grace of God, when you go through the valley of the shadow of death, you have nothing to fear, for the Lord will be with you. Well, I'm trying to close. Challenges. There are times when certain challenges we face in the present day hinder us or concern us. Now, I'm not saying that we should flippantly go through life and not be concerned or not be cautious or not count the cost. We should do those things, amen? We should not be irrational. All right. But when we're challenged, and the Lord is challenging us and testing us, and we are called upon to get out of the boat and walk on the water, we need to be mindful we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And if He calls upon us to do it, He will grant us the power and the ability to do it. Faith will run off all fears. He's promised to be with us. He will never leave us. He will always be with us even to the end. I want to say to those of you this morning that have not been saved, I have one final passage of Scripture that I want to call your attention to in the 21st chapter of Revelation. If you're here this morning and you've never been saved, you do have something to fear. The fear of condemnation. The Bible says those of us that are saved, He says now there is no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. We are in Christ. We're not under condemnation. Jesus said in John chapter 5, verse 24, He said, "He that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life." We're no longer under condemnation. We have nothing to fear at the day of judgment. Amen? Nothing at all. Jesus is our advocate. He's atoned for our sins. He's promised us a home in heaven. But if you've never been saved, if you've not been born again of the Spirit of God, if you've not trusted in Jesus with all of your heart and had that spiritual assurance placed there, you have something to fear. The Bible says those that overcome shall inherit all things. And He says in verse 7, "I will be their God and they shall be my sons." If you're not a child of God, you need to be saved this morning. If you've not repented your sins and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have something to fear. The Bible says in verse 8, "But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and sorcerers and the adulterers and all liars shall have their part in the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Listen, my friend, you need to be saved and get out from underneath the terror of Satan, the bondage of Satan. Let him set you free. And when you're free, you'll know you're free indeed. Set free from the condemnation. Set free from the guilt of sin. We have nothing to fear. We can come into the presence of God because Jesus Christ is our mediator. He is our advocate, amen. He is our go-between. He is our big brother, amen. And he will vouch for us. He will stand up for us. He has atoned for us. He died for us. Amen. He's our Savior. He's our Lord. So today, if you're here and you're not saved, seek the Lord with all of your heart. There is a fear that prompts us to seek God. Amen. And seek him out. It's the kind that is wise, the kind that is of knowledge. And I pray that you'll find it and know him and have all fears, bad fears that the Bible speaks of, removed. Let's stand and sing a verse of some song.